welcome to Connections Radio Show, where we talk about ideas that matter. I'm your host, Lori Fitz, and I'm glad you've made the connection and are with us today. Today, we're going to be exploring poetry. You know, there was a recent poll that said like 90% of folks really, you know, aren't that interested in poetry. 7% really like poetry. And I have some guests that are going to talk to us about poetry, and hopefully we'll explore maybe different definitions of poetry. Maybe have people have in their mind a certain definition of what poetry is and shun that. But a lot of my audience is a little bit older, and so I'm speaking to my boomer audience out there that may have grown up with memorizing poems. And that memorization process was really quite incredible, you know, being able to get up in front of the class and recite poetry. And I don't know if you also had parents and grandparents that recited poetry. Maybe they did it after dinner, or maybe they did it as part of Christmas. But there was something magical about having families recite poetry that elevated the moment, that created more meaning. And today, what I want to explore, I've got some wonderful guests, but what I really want us to think about is how can art, and we've talked about how art can impact and guide us during difficult times, but I want to get more specific and maybe look at what does poetry do? How does poetry serve us during really challenging times? And I have this image of, you know, the pioneers when they were surviving our Minnesota winters, huddling and reciting verse, remembering poetry. It was a way to get through the hard winters. And we're going through a hard winter of challenges that we're facing in this world, and there's a despair. Can poetry help show us the way to hold on to something more, to do a check-in, to find out who we are and who we want to be? And I have amazing guests that are going to help me, you know, unpack that a little bit and look at what can poetry be for ourselves and for the next generation. How are we helping kids? How are we educating? How are we integrating poetry into schools? So we have my dear friend Kurt Scholes. He is a farmer and a thespian. He does a wonderful show called Old Herbaceous, and he will share with us his thoughts on poetry as well as give you a highlight of his shows that he does. I also have an old friend, Carney Gray. Carney and I go way back at least 40 years. One of the things I just love about Carney is Carney would be able to have conversations when I first met him, and he would move into verse seamlessly and then back into conversation, and it was all beautifully integrated, and it was, I think, what poetry should be in terms of everyday life. And Carney heads up what's called Poetry Alive, which is an educational program that goes all over the world and working with kids in poetry. So first, I'll welcome Kurt. Kurt, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, yes. And Carney, you're coming to us from North Carolina.
Yes. Well, actually, I am in Minneapolis right now. But yes, the company is based in North Carolina. So sorry.
Had I known, I would have made you come to the studio, my friend.
Right.
You snuck out of that one, dear.
I did.
But we're so glad. I'm so glad that you're here today to talk to us about poetry. To start us off, I want to ask both of you, and I'll start with Kurt, why poetry has been important to you, how poetry has made an impact, and why you've chosen to share poetry in the way that you do. So, Kurt, I'm going to let you start with that.
Well, I've always had this fascination, love affair with words and language. I remember my dad was a dairy farmer, and my mother was a teacher, and they had six kids. So I don't really recall them reading poetry to us, but I still have this book. It's a book of old English poetry, and I remember finding that on a bookshelf when I was a little kid and being fascinated with it. I think poetry is a way for us to express ourselves when we don't really have another good way of doing it.
It also is a way, and you mentioned this to me earlier, of finding out who we are.
Well, for me, yeah, because I think for me, poetry is like being an actor, because it enables me to get inside myself and know myself better.
Carney, tell me about your love affair with poetry.
Well, it's interesting. If I can just tag on to what he was just talking about, this is exactly the way that we approach poetry at Poetry Alive. Because when students study poetry, they usually approach it from the standpoint of literature. But we look at it the same way that an actor looks at his text or his or her text. And so in that way, we make the students a character in the poem, and so they're basically looking at the poem from the inside out. So they find out, you know, what about that poem is part of them, what speaks to them, and that's what informs, you know, how they present the poem.
Now, I've done a little research in looking at how poetry can impact, especially kids, and some of the big top-line things. It helps build reading, speaking, listening skills. Helps us explore language and vocabulary, inspires writing, encourages creative thinking, and it builds a love for reading. So I like that it not only helps you read, but it inspires a passion. Do you remember first poems, like Kurt remembers his first poems, that made an impact on you?
Well, you were talking about this just a little bit earlier, a couple minutes ago here, and I didn't think about this until the first time I got the question after an assembly show. A student had asked the question, well, when did you first start performing poetry? And I started to think about it, and I thought, well, you know, actually, as I was growing up, it was kind of part of my family. And my father would get up after dinner, and he would recite, you know, The Cremation of Sam McGee. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. You know, and so he would just get up and start doing this. And we didn't think anything of it because we didn't know that wasn't normal. And my uncle would do something similar. You know, he would do Gunga Din by Rudyard Kipling. My grandfather used to recite Thanatopsis by William Cullen Bryant. And so I guess I was kind of, you know, exposed to poetry early on, and it was just kind of a normal thing in my family.
Well, I have to also share that you are Irish, right?
Yes.
So there is a tendency for us Irish to enjoy a good poetry and to go enjoy a good poetry.
Well,
tell me
yes,
more.
Yes, absolutely, uh-huh. Because the Irish at one point transmitted their history and their culture verbally, because that was all they were allowed at the time. And so they had the what they called the hedgerow priests, the Shanachies, who would actually, through verse, transmit the Irish history and culture.
So the oral tradition, not only for Native Americans, but also for us Celtic folks, was our way of being able to tell the story and to be able to hold on to the story for generation to generation.
Yeah, you bet.
Kurt, you look like you're about to say something about poetry.
As I was listening to you and Carney talk, I just bought a book called The Song Poet, and it's about a young woman. I believe her family's from Thailand, but her father was a poet, but he didn't. It was all from song, and he would start a poem and singing it and just keep adding to it. And adding to it, and never wrote it down. But so I haven't read much of the book yet, but I find that fascinating. That's just another way of us communicating, telling our story. But I think when we hear it, when we do it out loud, and we hear our choices of words and how we say them, or what goes on in between the words. For example, and I, forsooth, in love? I that have been love's whip? Or, and I, forsooth, in love? I that have been love's whip? So
a little bit of irony on the last
one. Yes, but, you know, so what? How we... how we develop relationship with those words. And
how we bring them to life with meaning.
Yeah.
It is interesting when you bring up stories and connections and whatnot to families and words. It reminded – and making up stories. My dad, when I was little, made up a ridiculous song about his Fairmont High School. And he claimed that this was their fight song, but found out later that, no, he had just made it up. But it was something that we all sang, and it was, "Oh, hail Fairmont High School, you sure are a fine school. Oh, hail Fairmont High School, you sure are a peach." And then it was, "Um-ya-ya, um-ya-ya." And he'd get the whole, you know, we'd go on trips, and we'd all be singing, "Um-ya-ya, um-ya-ya." Well, when my dad had his stroke, he lost language, and he lost a lot of other things. But the first thing that came back, the first time I could see a spark in his eyes, is when I sang to him this poem that he had made up about his Fairmont High School. And as soon as we got to the um-ya-ya, this is a person that wasn't speaking, he was aphasic, suddenly was going, um-ya-ya, um-ya-ya. And so there's something about holding on to words that we create and words that create community that have power. I mean, I saw it in seeing my father's stroke suddenly have a connection to him which would have been lost to any other way of connecting.
Yeah.
So with that, we've come to the end of our first segment of sharing about what poetry means to us, how it can have a powerful connection to our lives and our meaning and our sensibilities. In our next segment, I've got Kurt going to share about his Old Herbaceous program and Carney chiming in with whatever he'd like as we talk about the Old Herbaceous. And then in the third segment, Carney's going to be sharing about Poetry Alive and the cool things that are happening all over the world with the work that he's doing. So stay tuned. And if you have a favorite poem, I'm going to open up the phone lines. Talk to you soon. Listen in. We'll be right back.
I'm Peter Rackliff from the Eastside Freedom Library, and I'd like to tell you about an historic place on Payne Avenue, Brunson's Pub. Experience history and passion through the delicious menu, reflecting the Eastside's diversity. The choices are limitless: salads, sandwiches, burgers, and shareable plates. Visit Brunson's Pub at 956 Payne Avenue and grab a discounted gift card when you mention that you're an AM.
Smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads, too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Welcome back to Connections Radio Show. I'm Lori Fitz, your host, and I am so glad you made the connection and are with us today, because we're talking about poetry and how poetry can help us navigate challenging times as well as fond memories that we have in growing up with poetry and celebrating poetry and ways that it can make a difference in our lives and connect with each other, with ourselves, and the world around us. And I have two marvelous guests. I have Kurt Scholes, who is a farmer and thespian, and he does a one-man show called Old Herbaceous, and we're going to hear about that, as well as some of the poems that he's chosen for today for us to talk about and think about. I also have online joining us Carney Gray. He heads up Poetry Alive. He is a marvelous actor, director, thoughtful, wonderful friend. Welcome, Carney.
Thank you.
So, Kurt, you are from Glencoe, and yes. I adore Glencoe because my grandfather is from Glencoe, and so I've got a heart there. And you have a farm, and I have a little hobby farm, and we both share a great passion for the land and
yes.
the poetry that comes from just living on a farm is amazing. And you have a piece that you've created called Old Herbaceous.
Yes, I do. So Old Herbaceous is a show that was written in England, and it's about an old English gardener who tells his life story from the time he's a wee bit of a lad until he's an old man and head gardener at the Manor House Fairfield. So this show was first done at the Old Log Theater many years ago by a man by the name of Bob Aiden. And my dear friend Anita O'Sullivan used to work at the Old Log Theater, and she gave me a copy of this script years ago. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with a one-man show out in rural Minnesota? But I did end up, I started doing it about 4 or 5 years ago, and I have the real good fortune of being able to continue to do it every now and then. So I'll be performing it in Hutchinson this fall, which is actually the first community I performed it in 4 or 5 years ago. And I have several other bookings in the works. So if you look me up on my Facebook page, I'll keep everybody posted as to when and where.
And that's Kurt Schulz, S-C-H-U-L-Z.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, or if you want to share a little bit from Old Herbaceous.
Oh, well. It takes me back to the first time I fell in love. But you don't want to hear about that, do you? All them years ago? Well, it were young Sophie, pretty little minx that she was, under housemaid at the manor with a round, mischievous, dimpled face, her hair tumbling over it like ripe corn, and lips like cherries.
In our last segment, you were sharing about how poetry is like acting, and here you have a poem that you perform as part of a play. But there's power in the poetry as well that is even beyond in performing. Tell me about that for you.
That's hard for me to articulate, I guess, because I don't get asked that very often, so I don't really consciously think about it. For me, it's being able to tell my story, mm-hmm. to express myself. But then... So what's the next word or the next line in the poem as you're writing a poem? And I just feel like I have to be inviting words in all the time. And on my kitchen table, I have scraps of paper because words or sentences will come to me. And, you know, at some point it might turn into a poem. It might take a while or maybe not.
I love the idea of inviting a word to become a poem, that it's an invitation process, or a word invites you to think about it in terms of a poem.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes you just need to chew on it for a while and taste it and see where it fits.
We have a caller, Reverend Jack, and I'm going to let you... Jack, are you there? I don't hear you. We've lost you. So we'll come back to Reverend Jack to talk about poetry. Carney, do you have a thought on the invitation of words? Oh, we've lost Carney as well. So I'm going to come back to you.
Oh,
Kurt.
Well, it's just the two of us now.
That's all right. We'll get both Reverend Jack and we'll get
this
Carney back.
This intimate little room with these funny things on our heads.
And we do have the there. Thank you for taking the dial tone. Thank you for taking the dial tone off. We will be hearing back, I'm sure. So the invitation of words to perform. You've got another poem that you brought, that you've created, that invited you to write it. And this is for and about a dear friend of yours?
Yeah. So this poem is called For Deborah Jean. I'm the wind. I'm everywhere. If you cry, I will gently dry your tears. When you laugh, I will carry your laughter to forever. When you dream, I will part the clouds to allow your dreams to reflect off the stars. When you run, I will get there first. If you fall, I will hold out my hand. In your solitude I will wait. In your glory I shall retreat, only to return in your loneliness. If it takes you a day, I will have two. And when the owl calls my name, I will leave these words. But I promise you, the wind shall never cease to blow.
And in writing poetry, in addition to performing poetry, that's also a self-discovery process.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. I think that for me is the biggest thing about poetry.
Is the journey
of
discovery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The introspection that it allows you to make, an aha as you create or take a word or a word that's been beckoning to you or inviting you to think about suddenly takes a turn and you find yourself in a new place.
When I first started writing poetry, and I don't consciously remember just when that was, but sometimes it would surprise me. And I'd think, wow, I wrote that? It's kind of good. Or it's well, tear this one up so no one ever sees it. But then I learned that you have to be open to that.
Yeah, that the process is as important as the final work.
I think maybe more so. Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier, and Arnie was commenting about encouraging kids to write every day, a journal, anything. And I think that's absolutely important.
Yeah,
I think it helps us make meaning, especially when we're going through challenging times. Now, when you look at adolescents, they're like, you know, the absolute epitome of struggling to find meaning and who they are and individuating and that self-discovery process. But I also think the process of writing and looking at poetry, and if not considering it poetry, just your words, your thoughts for that day allows us to cope during difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly have plenty of difficult times to be coasting, that we almost feel a sense of loss and there's too much coming at us. You know, how do we just close down and create a space for ourselves to just be vulnerable and express our feelings and find words to match that? Well, with that, we're going to move into our next segment coming up, and we'll hear about Carney's work that he's doing, this very, very sort of guidance and performing and encouragement and enlightenment so that children and the next generation can cherish poetry as well. So stay with us. And we will open up the lines. We'll hopefully get Jack back. 952-946-6205. Again, that's 952-946-6205. And if you want to say something about poetry and what it means to you, you can feel free to give us a call. We'll be right back.
Appliance savings on a stick? Warner Stallion's guaranteed.
What was Jack's deal? What?
So we're not going to be able to take calls.
Oh.
So whenever I switch to Jack, he must be on like a digitally encoded phone also.
Okay.
So it immediately kicked off.
Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. So we won't take calls. I won't say it again. But I'm glad Carney's back. I asked you a question, Carney. I was like, oh, Carney's no longer there. All right. We'll just keep going. All right, Carney. So this is, we're going to be talking more about your stuff now. So
okay. We'll
open it up to why it's important.
Sure.
What children learn. You know, what is
sure.
And what do we mean by learning, and how, especially I love the, if we can get to the point where we're processing like we did at the end of this segment about discovering who we are through poetry and being
right.
able to talk about issues with people that maybe you're not comfortable just saying on your own, but maybe through poetry it's a way for us to connect to, because there's a lot of depression out there with kids and, you know, we're seeing terrible things happening in schools. Can poetry be the way that the disgruntled can find a way to express instead of using violence, and can children?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I do believe that poetry can be such a powerful force for us. So
yeah.
I look forward to having you share about that.
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to have Eric. Hopefully we won't lose you in the middle of this, but we won't take any callers during yours so that you won't be like disappearing in the middle. All right, my friend. Thanks.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. and they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Join author William Ken Kruger at Next Chapter Booksellers on Wednesday, September 4th, as he presents his newest novel, This Tender Land. A separate work from the Cork O'Connor mysteries, This Tender Land tells the story of four Native American orphans, forcibly separated from their parents on a life-changing odyssey during the Great Depression. It's a big-hearted epic that shows how the magnificent American landscape connects us all. Again, that's William Ken Kruger presenting This Tender Land at Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul on Wednesday, September 4th. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be partly sunny with a high near 77. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 59. Sunday, partly sunny with a high of 76 and a chance of rain at night with a low around 63. Monday, the rain is likely to continue with temperatures in the 70s.
Your Eat Local Minnesota's restaurant of the week is the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. The Downtowner is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Experience their cozy fireside dining alongside their delicious food and extensive wine list. Check out the full menu at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Welcome back to Connections Radio Show. I'm Lori Fitz, your host, and today we're exploring poetry. How words and images and creating space for inviting words into our life can be very meaningful. And I have two wonderful guests, Kurt Scholz, who is both a farmer, and he raised my sapphire gem hens that I now have. So thank you for my sapphire gems. They're lovely hens. Then they're still laying eggs beautifully. And he is also a thespian. He does a one-man show called Old Herbaceous that goes all over Minnesota. And he has a show coming up in Hutchinson this fall, looking like October. Mm-hmm. And we'll hear more about that. And you can learn more about that when you go to his face page, Kurt Scholz. So welcome, Kurt.
Thank you.
And if you've missed the last segment, you want to listen to the podcast coming up because Kurt shares about the show that he does and about poetry and poetry that he does and what poetry means to him. And I also have Carney Gray. And Carney Gray leads a program called Poetry Alive. Carney is an amazing actor, a director. He runs a great business, and he's here to talk to us about poetry. And 40 years ago, Carney and I were at the University of Minnesota working with Punchinello Theater.
Ah.
Yes, we were punchers. And I remember times when he would be in conversation and then share Jabberwocky or The Raven. And I'd love to have one more moment of having my Jabberwocky moment, if you could share some Jabberwocky with me, Carney.
"'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the Tumtum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffling through the tulgey wood, and burbled as it came. One, two, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, calloo, calay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe."
And, oh, I just love it.
Wow, that was cool.
It's very cool. And I have to make a confession. It was part of why I created a children's show called Bronwyn and the Dragon. And Carney was...
Yes,
Carney was my...
I hadn't thought about that in a while.
Carney was my dragon in our little traveling children's show. He had been turned into a dragon by an evil witch. And the horror of this was that his love of his life, Bronwyn, the heroine, thought she had to slay the dragon in order to save her Daniel, not knowing that the dragon was actually Daniel. So
yeah.
Daniel was a very wonderful, warm, and cuddly and dear dragon that even a heroine wasn't able to slay. But it was because of that, your Jabberwocky, that I was inspired to have you become the dragon, my friend.
That's awesome.
So now you're doing poetry all over the world.
Yes.
Tell me about, tell the audience more about Poetry Alive.
Well, Poetry Alive was actually established way back in 1984 in a little place called Black Mountain, North Carolina, which is very close to Asheville. And there was a music hall called McDibbs. And there was a couple of fellows who loved poetry and loved reciting poetry. And, well, to be honest, they were hams. They were very much in love with attention. Uh-huh. And so they got this bright idea of having this poetry show and inviting all of their friends and family to attend. But the closer it got to the date of the poetry show, the more nervous they got about, you know, presenting these poems in front of people. And so they came up with the bright idea of getting audience volunteers and dragging them up on stage and having them help perform the poems. So somebody who was watching the show that evening thought, this could have some educational application, and thus the idea of Poetry Alive was born. And they started out just locally, Asheville area, and then, you know, North Carolina, but to this date, we've now been to every single state in the Union, including Washington, D.C. We've been to every continent except for Antarctica, but don't worry, we are working currently on some penguin poetry.
Wow. You know I love penguins. That's great. There is a settlement in Norway that's not that far. It's like 600 miles from – oh, no, Antarctica's on the South Pole. Sorry about that. Work on those penguins in the South Pole.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, my friend. You're doing well with poetry, but I also want us to have you share about the impact that it makes with children. We talked in the first segment about how it builds awareness of words. It can grow a child's vocabulary, makes them better learners. But tell me your thoughts on poetry in children.
Well, the thing that I'm finding, have been finding as we've been doing this, is that poetry is often a way for students and children to express themselves when, you know, normal words fail. And for some of them, it might be just writing poetry, which we encourage them to send in to our Poem of the Month contest. And I'm able to see poems about some deeply personal subjects that they probably would have difficulty speaking about. So there's that aspect of it, but we also bring them the tools so that they can perform poetry. And as we were talking about a little bit earlier, slam poetry is becoming more and more popular in the schools for the fact that the students can write about their own experience and then present it, you know, maybe in a kind of a poetry cabaret type of setting. And so I'm finding more and more that poetry is a great tool for self-expression, and, you know, it's something where they can talk about things. They have the, you know, artistic license to talk about things that might otherwise be difficult to talk about.
I think it's always difficult to be vulnerable and share fears or anger or things that may seem like you're not supposed to talk about those things. And then in Minnesota, I think in particular, you're always supposed to be nice. And there's this branded, you know, if you're not nice, then. So how do we give permission through these to really explore a range of emotions? I love the idea that we talked about in the first or second, I can't remember which segment, about words being inviting. How do we invite the opportunity to express our whole range of emotions? And I have to believe, especially teenagers are going through tough times in self-discovery. We've seen violence in schools. We see depression. We see suicide. What if they had the opportunity to better communicate what's going on inside of them through poetry? I have to believe it's a healing as well as an exploring process.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that poetry is kind of uniquely situated to give them that kind of outlet, you know, whether it's something they've written themselves or whether it's something that just appeals to them. And I'm constantly amazed at how students will respond even to, you know, classic poetry. One of the poems that we're doing this coming season is The Raven. And when we've done this in performance in the past, the way that students respond to it is quite surprising and very heartening, because they find a way to connect with this poem that, you know, is very dear to me, but, you know, I didn't know it would be dear to them as well. And when it is, it's very gratifying.
In what ways do they find it dear? Tell me about that. And then I want you to share part of The Raven, because it's also one of my favorites of yours.
Yeah, well, I think because a lot of them can relate to the themes in the poem, and it gives them kind of a starting point to discuss things like, you know, even like depression and loss and things of that sort. And so I think that's how they're connecting with it, even if they can't necessarily, you know, articulate that.
So share a little bit, will you?
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as if someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now to still the beating of my heart I stood repeating, 'tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more.
You know, when you share that poem, it's like 40 years disappears, and here we are at a punch party, and you're doing my Nevermore.
Hey, I didn't even get to Nevermore.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a long one, but, yeah. You know, it's amazing. The students sit there, and they are absolutely rapt, and it just amazes me that they're so absorbed in this.
You were about to say something.
I think it's because I was sitting here listening to you, Carney, with my eyes closed, and it's visual. You can see.
Yes. Oh gosh.
You
yes.
can see it, but then you can also feel the emotion, and mm-hmm. and it's, well, for me, it's addictive. I mean, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Definitely.
So Carney, in looking at the future, you know, what would you like to see for children, high school students, adults, how to embrace poetry. Something that Kurt said that I think makes a lot of impact on me when we were just about to start the segment was people can get intimidated with memorizing a poem, but maybe a better way of looking at it is learning a poem.
Yes, and I would agree with that wholeheartedly, because as actors, which is the way that we approach poetry with Poetry Alive, it's all about internalizing the poem. And so rote memorization doesn't really serve us, but as we go through the process of learning the poem, we also internalize it and we find how we connect to the text, and I think that's the really important thing.
And what do you believe we can learn about ourselves and perhaps coping skills in the world when we learn poems?
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about finding ways to express the inexpressible. I had a client that contacted me one time. She said, you know, I've got a funeral that I'm going to, and, you know, I wanted to know if you have a poem that I could read at the funeral. And I immediately thought of, I don't know if you've heard of this, it's called Death is Nothing at All by Henry Scott Holland.
Yes.
And you know, I'll just read maybe the first couple of lines. Death is nothing at all. It does not count. I have only slipped away into the next room. Nothing has happened. Everything remains exactly as it was. I am I, and you are you, and the old life that we live so fondly together is untouched, unchanged. And I think that poetry is something that we have at so many different points in our lives that we may not even be aware of. People use poetry at weddings. People use poetry at funerals, special occasions. And I think that the concept of poetry is broader than some people think it is.
Absolutely. The ritual of poetry that allows us to connect in ways that honor the moment, celebrate the moment, you know, memorialize the moment.
Well, and if I can mention as well, the Bible actually for a lot of people provides verses. And the King James Version of the Bible, reputedly, Shakespeare may have had a hand in helping write that.
Interesting.
And it's a poetical text.
And with that, we'll end our third segment on poetry and celebrating poetry, poetry around the world as well as poetry around the corner. And in our next segment, we'll hear more about if you're interested in doing either Poetry Alive or having a performance of Kurt Scholl's with his Herbaceous, we'd love to talk to you about that. So stay tuned and learn more. We'll be right back.
I'm Peter Rackliff from the Eastside Freedom Library, and I'd like to tell you about an historic place on...
When we started 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. My shows can kind of be circular, but they go a little deeper each time with what does this mean? You know, why is this important? All right, can you put Carney on for just a moment?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Scared me there.
Sorry.
That's all right. Had you been in the room, I would have been able to see you, but you decided not to come to our little
Lori,
nice
I'm
studio.
Always in the room.
There you are. You are, especially with my Facebook. I'm always like commenting or sharing your stuff. It's so good. All right. So in our next segment, I think what I'll do is I'll share one of my favorite poems to start it off. And then... let's move into having you share about how people can sign up for this, because I remember you did put out hey, let people know. Well, this is my way of letting people know, Carney, is have you on air. And then, Kurt, go ahead and feel free to share about how to – if it's something that they – give different ways that it might be a good performance, like at this association that you're thinking about doing it at.
Okay.
It could be at a church. It could be at a community center.
Sure.
Give people ideas of ways that you'd be available.
Okay.
Okay? All right. I'm going to have you come back in just a second. I'm going to sign off with you right now, Carney.
Okay.
All right.
For your next event today.
Imagine – cyber criminals, waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Welcome back to Connections Radio Show. I'm Laurie Fitz, your host, and I'm so glad you made the connection today. We've been talking about poetry, poetry that helps us discover who we are, poetry that invites us in, poetry about the farm and the gardens, poetry around the world. So I have two marvelous guests that have been joining me to muse and share about poetry as well as give poetry some airing on our air. I have Kurt Scholes, who is a farmer and thespian. He does a one-man show called Old Herbaceous. And I have Carney Gray, who runs Poetry Alive, that brings poetry to schools all over the country and on every continent, except for Antarctica, but he's working on that. So we were talking earlier about how words can call to us. And initially, when I introduced Kurt, I shared that he has a farm like I do, and how the farm becomes a place where there's poetry. I believe that words love to nest in farms and hobby farms. Mm. And there's a poem that I particularly like called Woods. We've got some nice woods on our farm, and I can get to nice woods out in Independence. And this is a poem called Woods by Wendell Berry. I part the out-thrusting branches and come in beneath the blessed and the blessing trees. Though I am silent, there is singing around me. Though I am dark, there is vision around me. Though I am heavy, there is flight around me. And for me, there are days that I'm sad about where the world is, and I do feel heavy in my heart for where are we and where are we going and why is there all this madness where people are not being respected and humanity is being disregarded and the climate change is being dismissed and the Amazon is burning and my heart hurts. But at the same time, I can go to the blessing trees and feel connected and I can hear song. So poetry can give us more than reading the newspaper, per se.
Yes.
The words take us places that can address our soul. And that's part of what I wanted to bring out today, is for us to think about how do we explore our soul by exploring poetry and what can it give us? In terms of having someone perhaps be able to help guide that path, I want Kurt to share how he can have his Old Herbaceous and other poetry be shared here in the Twin Cities and beyond. So, Kurt, tell me about it.
I shall. So, Old Herbaceous is really best received in a very intimate setting. I have performed it in a tiny apartment in New York City, some larger stages, churches, libraries, community centers. I don't necessarily need a stage. I bring my own props with me. If there's lighting and sound, that's great. If there's not, I'll still do it. So it's very movable. I mean, physically and emotionally.
There you go.
So I can go anywhere with it, and I would love to.
All right. Now, to get a hold of our friend Kurt, his email is ayerstein, and that's at gmail.com, ayerstein. Or you can go to Kurt Scholes on Facebook, and you can message him there. And the last name is S-C-H-U-L-Z, Kurt Scholes.
Yes.
Carney, tell us about how to book Poetry Alive.
Probably the easiest way is just to go to the website, poetryalive.com. So there's no capitals, no punctuation, just poetryalive.com. And there's an 800 number, there's an email, and you can also see, you know, what the company is all about and what we're offering.
And if folks are up in northern Minnesota or if they're in the Twin Cities, you go all over. Is that right?
That's correct. We travel the country coast to coast, north to south. And as we mentioned earlier, we visit foreign countries as well. So we're very movable as well. So I appreciated Kurt's thoughts about being movable.
So some of the things that are on your website that I just want to mention is that you do reading, writing, and performing. You also have services like helping to do assembly shows and workshops.
Yes.
Go for it. Tell me about that.
Well, one of the things that we do and that we love to do is we like to do our residencies where we begin the week with assemblies, but then we work with the students for them to develop their own poetry performance at the end of the week. And so we rehearse the poems with the students, and at the end of the week they have their own assembly, and we act as like MCs and so forth. And it's very gratifying for both the faculty as well as the students to see these the journey that these students make in bringing their own poems to life.
You also won an award not too long ago, it looks like, here.
Yeah.
Tell me about being the Distinguished Support of Literacy.
Yeah. Well, the International Literacy Association recognized us for our distinguished support to literacy when we were at a conference in San Antonio, and it was quite surprising because I didn't know that we were up for such an award.
That's great.
But we have found that, you know, poetry has all sorts of unintended effects that are very beneficial. One of the things we've discovered is that even children on the autism spectrum respond to it. And we had a student that we used in one...
Carney, I'm going to have you share it on the website. And we'll have to leave you on because I have 10 more seconds. So come to our Facebook on Connections. I'll give you Carney's story as well as Connections to the Poetry Alive as well as to Kurt Schulz. Thank you for being with us today.